closer that we draw to the removing of the veil, that veil that we so often mention here at the Soul Trap, the more we're going to see that the Bible, the Christian scriptures, are far and away more advanced than we could have ever imagined. In fact, the truth of the matter is, the more advanced that society becomes, the more spiritual that it becomes. And I think you'll understand what I'm saying in just a few minutes. You see, the world uses differing language, but they are only now beginning to describe what the Bible has been describing for thousands of years. Take, for example, the concept and theories of quantum entanglement, communication, something that we are only now beginning to see and our government is experimenting with.
The quantum world is a spooky place. A lot of that spookiness is due to something called entanglement. That's when two particles become mysteriously linked. When you measure some property, like spin, of one particle, you automatically know what the spin of its partner will be, even if that other particle is on the opposite side of the universe. Weird, right? Let's break it down. Imagine each particle is a coin. Spin those coins on a table. Will they land heads or tails? You don't know. Similarly, a particle's spin is a mystery until you measure it. Now, let's assume these coins become entangled. They're still spinning. Finally, one lands. You see that it's heads. Now, you know that the other coin, whenever it lands, will be tails. Guaranteed. The coins, or particles, aren't communicating. One doesn't call up the other one and tell it to land tails. Instead, they're like two parts of a whole, with a shared history and a mysterious, inexplicable cosmic connection. That's the magic of quantum entanglement. Physicists have been exploring how to use entangled particles to build powerful quantum computers and unbreakable ciphers. But now, some scientists think that such a long-distance connection has more fundamental importance. Quantum entanglement may serve as the thread that stitches space together. Researchers studying mathematical models of the universe have found that cutting the link between previously entangled particles is like tearing apart the fabric of space-time. So entanglement, a concept Einstein strongly disliked, may actually be the key to making his general theory of relativity jive with quantum theory.
So, what you have in quantum entanglement is the fact that long before we ever discovered what lies beyond the veiled reality, the Bible was clearly hinting, not hinting, it was telling us that something like that was there, was possible, was actually a part of the spirit world. For example, the doctrines of the New Testament that speak of a believer's quote-unquote identity in Christ. In other words, what happened to Christ has, in the mind of God and in the theology of the exchange life, and now possibly in quantum reality, happened to us across time and space. When the Apostle Paul states that we are seated together with Christ in high places, how can that be? We are here. The fact of the matter is, it is only explained when you begin to dive into the world of quantum entanglement. However you want to name it, in some sense, what the Bible is often referring to is what the world is simply calling quantum reality. It would seem that this would make believers more otherworldly minded. In fact, it has not. The reality is, much of what the average Bible reader reads today is not even Bible, but rather a crude, made-for-money translation. But I don't want to digress too far into that. The reality is that the scriptures, the true scriptures, have taught that there is a deep mystical connection. The occult world has known that from the darker side. And so you have had the religious side, the occult side, and now coming together, bridging the gulf, is a field of science known as quantum mechanics, quantum reality, quantum entanglement, quantum computing. And simply, they are using the term quantum to describe what we have been talking about for a long time. Whether it's called dark matter, the God principle, or quantum physics, reality has a spiritual component. And we can say quantum, we can say spiritual, or we could actually say dimensional. There are dimensional planes of existence that are at play. Now, such is the case on the subject that we're discussing today, known as the topic of the multiverse. A longtime listener by the name of Daniel, a friend of the Soul Trap and a personal friend of mine, sent me a text the other day and said, "Hey, have you guys done a podcast on the multiverse?" To which my response was, "Man, almost every single thing we do on the Soul Trap is in some way connected to the multiverse." I said that with tongue in cheek, but in essence, what I was communicating back to him is that at the root of all that we explore, at the root of the Bible or a quantum physicist, there is another plane. There is another operating system, a ghost in the machine, so to say, that at times collides with our interpretation of reality. And this is coming into play more and more. And the multiverse is one of those sort of under the surface dogmas that's actually starting to pick up. And what it is doing, it is simply another layer in the reshifting and the reorganization of the thinking of man, prepping man for the splitting of that veil and the revealing of the sons of God prior to the Son of God. So, what is the multiverse? Well, if you're looking for absolute, unvarnished truth, you need look no further than Wikipedia.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Of course, I say that jokingly. But in this particular case, they do a pretty good job of synthesizing the multiverse concept. So let's dive in, get our bearings about what the multiverse is, then we'll pull back out and see how that applies. The multiverse is the hypothetical set of all universes. Together, these universes are presumed to comprise everything that exists, the entirety of space, time, matter, energy, information, and the physical laws and constants that describe them. The different universes within the multiverse are called parallel universes or other universes. Some have even referred to them as alternate universes or mini worlds. One common assumption is that the multiverse is a patchwork quilt of separate universes all bound by the same laws of physics, sort of a mosaic that is all held together by the same binding. The concept of multi-universes or multiverse has been discussed, frankly, throughout history. This is not a new 21st century phenomenon. The origins reach back into Greek philosophy. It has evolved over time and has been debated in various fields, including cosmology, philosophy, physics, and even psychology and metaphysics. Some physicists argue that the multiverse is a physical notion, or a philosophical notion, I should say, rather than a scientific hypothesis, as it cannot be empirically verified or falsified. In recent years, there have been proponents and skeptics of the multiverse theories within the physics community. Although some scientists have analyzed data in search of evidence for other universes, no statistically significant evidence has been found. Critics therefore argue that the multiverse concept lacks testability and falsability. Now, I find that interesting that they say, well, we've got to have empirical data before we can believe something. They don't say that about evolution, to which there is no, absolutely no verifiable, testable, reprovable, approvable, repeatable scientific data for evolution. But you see, and I'm digressing here, but they don't care about that because evolution leads you far away from God. But when anything, even quantum science, begins to lead you to the fact that there may be a God on the other side, well, then they need to have strict guidelines of science.
You are really dumb.
Well, we know what that is. That's farcical. But the fact of the matter is, there is ongoing debate about this issue. There is a growing consensus among high level. I'm not talking about your basic state colleges, but among high level operators, there is now a consensus more and more that there is something out there. Now, whatever that something they would call that, we call that God, whatever the mechanism that that initial cause, as Aristotle would call it, the prime mover, whatever the mechanism was, whether it was the Big Bang or creation, the real issue is, what is the prime mover? What is on the other side? Quantum physics, quantum science, quantum philosophy from the world's point of view is just now beginning to catch up with Christianity 101, in the beginning, God. Now, they do get close, but the problem is that most of their attempts and observations are not within the parameters of acknowledging the Creator. In fact, some argue that the multiverse is actually a way to explain what evolution cannot. What evolution cannot explain is, why do things work the way they do? They do not have an answer for why. Now, what some people are saying is that the multiverse concept, from a theological, philosophical standpoint, is simply trying to answer the why of the what without a who. That makes sense? It's simply trying to answer why what is happening without saying that there is a who behind it. We know Genesis 1:1 answers the why, the what, the when, the wherefore, but they're trying to do that. So there is what's called the anthropic principle. An article states, the concept of the other universe has been proposed to explain how our own universe appears to be fine-tuned for conscious life as we experience it. If there were a large, possibly infinite number of universes, each with possibly different physical laws, then some of these universes would have the combination of laws and fundamental parameters that are suitable for the development of matter. Now, what they're saying is that, again, they always revert back to time plus matter plus chance. What they're saying is that if there are enough variations of universes, eventually it would stumble onto the right formula for life. Now, the weak anthropic principle could then be applied to conclude that we would exist in one of those few universes that happen to be finely tuned. Thus, while the probability might be extremely small that any particular universe would have the conditions for life, those conditions do not require intelligent design. Did you catch that? As an explanation for the conditions in the universe. In other words, you just keep rolling the dice until you get life. Now, that is what, in essence, is the theological root of the multiverse. An early form of this reasoning is evident in Arthur Schopenhauer's 1844 work that he released, where he argues that our world must be the worst of all possible worlds, because if it were significantly worse in any respect, it could not continue to exist. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the twisted, warped, confounded circular argument of philosophy at its best. Now, there are a lot of different variations, and there are a lot of different subsets of the multiverse concept. Physicist and cosmologist Paul Davies frames the discussion with these terms. He says there is what is called the observed universe. Then there is the observable universe. There is then the entire universe, a pocket universe, and ultimately there is a multiverse. There are also different levels of the universe. One particular writer, who is a mathematics professor, Max Tegmark, says there is level one, the universe external to ours as a result of the inflation at the Big Bang. Level two is a pocket universe, the result of eternal inflation. Level three is the ensemble of universes as a consequence of many worlds, formulation, and quantum mechanics. And level number four, his own notion of all mathematical structures, which he hypothesizes actually exist and constitute the irreducible, quote, stuff of existence. Now, Did that twist your brain a little bit? Did any of that make sense? Well, if it didn't, don't feel bad, because it doesn't. One of the things that's always fascinating to me about the wisdom of man is that it is actually the foolishness of man. Here is what one of the greatest minds in all of mathematics and quantum physics has to call the substance of life. He says the irreducible, quote, stuff of existence. Now, the reason that that sounds so complicated and the reason that it sounds so circular is because it is. What they're trying to do, in a sense, is to eliminate God from the equation. And whenever you do that, you sound stupid, because you are stupid. The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. But it is also getting at something else that I think for us at the Soul Trap is even more important. Though they are trying to eliminate God, and though they are misinterpreting the data that they are seeing, there is something there. The other side, the spirit world. And that is where they have a hard time. They have a very hard time describing the spirit world, which they are seeing now for the first time, without sounding spiritual. They don't want to sound like light photons are spiritual things, even though in the beginning God said, let there be light, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The more they talk, the more they sound spiritual, and that is why they have to create this strange sort of vocabulary. Now, Brian Greene, in his 2011 book, The Hidden Reality, sums up the numerous proposals for a multiverse. He says that there are several different ways in which this multiverse can be shaped. And although there are not multiverses with multi-realities, he might be sniffing around the right tree when we're talking about levels of principalities, of the worlds to come, the ages to come. One is what is called the quilted multiverse. The other is the inflationary. The other is the brain, or the cyclical multiverse. There's also the quantum multiverse, the vast ensemble of branching parallel universes. Then there is the simulated universe, or multiverse, a collection of universes that potentially are created as simulations running inside futuristic, super powerful computer systems, a la The Matrix.
This isn't real.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
And then there is the ultimate multiverse. The suggestion, again by Tegmark and others, that every set of mathematical equations describing a possible universe is actually realized. Now, this theory is also connected to other theories that are at work. One of them that you can find that is actually promulgated by the Northrop Grumman Group, and that ought to ring some bells. This one is talking about string theory. Another key aspect of parallel universe theory comes through string theory, which is currently the best option that they have for smoothing out the mathematical inconsistencies that arise when Albert Einstein's theory of relativity is combined with quantum mechanics. Now, what's interesting to remember is that the theory of relativity is just that. The theory of relativity has never been scientifically proved. It has been mathematically explained, but Tesla talked about that. Tesla said that mathematics was beginning to replace hard science, because you can prove anything with numbers and equations. But science demands verifiable, empirical, testable data. You cannot do that with any of Albert Einstein's theories. You cannot do that with any of quantum mechanics. There is a wall that they hit that they can only use mathematics to explain. However, string theory attempts to explain the entire universe from a subatomic particle. And these particles move beyond the laws of speed and gravity in terms of really, really, really small strings that vibrate in 10 or 11 different dimensions. Now, one thing that's interesting to think about. The string theory is based upon a concept that at the smallest level, the smallest particle, the smallest point of existence, the touchstone of existence, is vibrating. Secondly, it does so on 10 different dimensions. Now, the Bible also says that in the beginning God said, that's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What is speaking? What is the Word? It is the vibration. It is sound. In the beginning God said. The first sort of thing that you have is a vibration of God's voice through the then unknown universe. What's even more fascinating is He said in Genesis 1, God said 10 times. Is it possible that string theory is bumping up against something that we have known for a long time? Hebrews chapter 11 says the worlds and all that is were formed by God who spoke them into existence out of nothing. Now, if your brain is not fried by now, you're in luck, because ultimately none of these, string theory, quantum mechanics, none of these have the answer. But they are barking around something that we mentioned earlier that is important to think about. And that is this, the bigness of what we believe. Most believers today have such a limited view of what eternity is. At worst, it is missing hell. At best, it is living in some far-off, unreal region, unknown beyond a few descriptions that we see. But is that it? More so, has God, the eternal God, the God with no end and no beginning, only actually created anything, been creative, redemptive, amazingly glorious only about 6,000 years ago? Imagine if you were to try to measure all the grains of the sand on all the beaches in all the world, and that was somehow an expression of time. Think about that in your mind for a minute. Now imagine one infinitesimal grain of sand, not a handful, a grain. That still wouldn't even give you a measure of how small 6,000 years is to eternity. The God of eternity has only acted creatively, has only acted powerfully on that grain of sand compared to the beaches of the world? No. It cannot be. In fact, the Bible hints that that is not the case, because at our current creation, it says that all the sons of God were there. They sang together at the creation of this world, this universe, this being. No, something was there. Not only that, Psalms 82 says that God stands among the gods as judge. He is a Lord of lords, a King of kings. Who are these lords? Who are these kings? Who are these sons of God that come to present themselves? No, we are living on the shore of a vast ocean without end, trying to understand a horizon without boundaries. One reason that we see more science trying to blur into the world of religion and metaphysics, and what we are come to call in quantum physics, is that in reality, this world has exhausted all other avenues and all other options of hope. There is a gray fog that has fallen, a mist that covers the eyes of the average person, the average culture, the average society, graying out like a cataract the colors around us. The days fall into one consistent gray after another. The jokes have all been told, the stories have all been written, the paintings have all been painted. The world is looking for something, anything. And the multiverse, well, that might offer them hope, an existential meaning in a meaningless world that they themselves have wanted, craved for, and designed by their own rejection of God. Now, you're seeing this in art, literature, music, most recently in a very kind of off-the-grid movie called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, simply tapped into the concept of hope by way of a multiverse. In an article written on Vox.com by Alex, he states that without giving too much away, the very simple gist of this maximalist, fantastic tornado of a movie is about the choice to exist, to fully live within the present moment. It's about finding the beauty in our small, odd lives, even as we constantly compare what we have to our unfulfilled fantasies. Sometimes life is imitating art, but more often than not, art is simply tapping into where life is heading. There is an emptiness, and let me tell you something, there is something deeper to the Marvel and the DC movies. There's something deeper to these kind of existential movies. It's because mankind is frustrated, mankind is aggravated, they have been trapped in a nihilistic existence and they're looking for something. The article goes on to state that the movie also examines how we take solace in the personal disasters we've narrowly avoided. But what makes everything everywhere all at once so powerful is the multiverse. A dazzling antidote to the fact that real life these days feels like it's been designed, note, to blur. Remember what I just said about graying out? To blur and pummel our emotions into dullness. So, whether it's art or science, whether it's the man on the street or the physicist in the laboratory, the idea of the multiverse and the answers that they are trying to come up with is actually a foolish idea. But it is, in fact, more than simply foolishness or mythology or simply speculation. It is the last dying gasp of philosophy that has failed. A philosophy that went from postmodernism to nihilism, to not even having meaning, to having no meaning, to the point where now maybe this even entire universe is so meaningless, maybe somewhere out there there is a mirror universe. Well, that's wrong. The Bible says that God inhabits eternity. And you ought to let that marinate for just a moment. Let that roll around in your mind for just a moment of thinking. Can you really describe eternity to the fullest? Beyond simply stating with a synonym, eternity is forever? Well, duh, you're just restating it. Yeah, we got that. But what is eternity? Can you really think in a way or shape without some sense of measurement? Try to do that. You can't. Yet God exists outside of eternity, but he has created this time-space continuum in which we live, and this space has meaning. But this space, though it does have meaning, is not exclusive. There are other dimensions. How many, I don't know. To what degree, I don't know. But it is the other dimensions that encircle and uplift and connect to the one in which we're in. We know that because there is a heaven. We know that because there is a lake of fire, a bottomless pit. We know that because the Bible tells us that. And the reality of the matter is that people are looking for a multiverse, trying to come up with words to describe a reality without God. There are no words to describe a reality without God. It sounds farcical, but when you accept God and the Bible at face value, then the words cease to be farcical and the world becomes fanciful. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, like C.S. Lewis mentioned, we are playing with mud puddles. When if we could ever look up around and see, we are living in a big universe, a big reality, a big God with big consequences, and our life is big. Whether in a truck or in a kitchen, whether pastoring a church or digging a ditch, it doesn't matter. The scriptures tell us that the angels desire to look in, that our lives and this very existence is on display for the worlds to come. Is that God's way of describing the universes to come? Think of that one grain of sand that measures 6,000 years, and think of the beaches of India, China, Russia, Africa, Australia, South America, America. Think of all the beaches of all the world and wonder in your mind, how much more out there is there? The multiverse. In some ways, it is a way to simply define but complicated without the architect. But in other ways, it may be defining the vast array of beaches that God has for us yet in that undiscovered country.
Knowledge, getting into another dimension, to another dimension, provides as an incidental benefit a kind of
to another dimension
X-ray vision.
Getting into another dimension,
You are trapped in three dimensions. And you are trapped.
It's a trap!